Our Bible reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, which can be found on page 1082 in the Church Bibles. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, well, let's keep that passage open in front of us. So John chapter 14, page 1082. And let's pray for God's help as we look at his word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that by your Spirit, you would open our eyes to understand your words and open our hearts to receive it. And through receiving your word and through knowing you better, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so would you change our lives. Amen. Well, as Brent says, we are starting a new series today, looking at John chapters 14 to 16. Jesus is speaking to his followers on the night that he was betrayed, that very night, and the next day, he was going to be killed. Why these chapters? Well, in them, as Brent has already said, Jesus speaks about his relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so one of the big applications that we're going to see as we keep coming back to these verses... Yes, hello. That's all right. Don't worry about it. We're good, Ken. Don't worry. Thank you for your concern there. One of the big things we're going to see as we keep coming back to these chapters is that we will learn better who God is. I know in lots of, when we come to sermons, we want to go away thinking, right, I've learned something new that I can put into practice that I've got to do tomorrow. But actually, one of the big applications that we need to have from this is that we just get to know God better. And that is the root of all application, is that we understand God better. And so I think it's really exciting. I hope you're really excited by the prospect of just getting to know God better. Well, we begin, excuse me, with chapter 14. And let me introduce it this way. We are a Christian church. In other words, we worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet, if you come along week by week to Emmanuel Church, you will see that we make a big deal of Jesus, that is the Son of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We make a big deal of Jesus. We speak about him. Our mission statement is about him. So our mission statement as a church is this. Our aim is for people to come to Jesus, grow in him, and go out to serve him. Now, knowing that we are a Christian church who worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does that look a bit unbalanced to you? Maybe it does. Shouldn't we mention the Father and the Holy Spirit in there as well? Well, maybe we should. Well, I want us to see from this passage, from what Jesus says to his followers, I want us to see three good reasons why we should make much of the Son. Three good reasons why we should make much of the Son. That is Jesus. Which doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about the Father and the Holy Spirit. We should, and we should teach more, and probably more than we do, about the Father and the Holy Spirit. But three reasons why we should make much of the Son. I want to show you them from the passage. We won't have time to go into every detail of the passage, and we will focus a bit less on the first part of the passage because we have looked at that before. But here's the first point. The only way to the Father is the Son. And that's verses 1 to 6 of the passage. The only way to the Father is the Son. This is the first reason why we should make much of the Son. So, verse 6 of the passage. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Famous verse, trying to learn it as a church. Now, the context emphasizes that Jesus is the way. That is the big point of that verse, isn't it? That Jesus has been saying so far, he's been talking about going to the Father. And when he talks about going to the Father, he's talking about life beyond this life, isn't he? He's talking about heaven, glory. And he always talks about it. He talks about it as being going to the Father. He does also talk about it as being taking his disciples to be with him. But he calls it going to the Father. Now, big application of that is, what's the thing that makes heaven heaven? What's the thing that makes glory glory? What should we be looking forward to? It is going to be with God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what makes heaven heaven. Now, I know we look forward to being with relatives, with being with loved ones. But actually, the thing that makes heaven heaven, the thing that should thrill our hearts is we go to be with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And how do you get there? Jesus is saying there's one way. There is only one way, and that is through the Son, through him. It's a bit like if you were to go to Green Island in Antigua. I've never been there, but this is Green Island in Antigua. Looks lovely, doesn't it? There is one way to get there, and that is by boat. Okay, you can only get to Green Island by boat. You cannot walk there. You cannot go by plane. You cannot go by train. You cannot go any other way. The only way you can get there is by boat. That's it. It is not arrogant of boats to claim that they are the only way to get to that island. It is just true. You cannot get there any other way. Don't try. So too, Jesus is saying the Son, him, himself, is the only way to get to the Father, the only way to heaven, glory. And therefore, of course, we must make much of the Son. He's the only way there. Why is he the only way? Well, because from verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, when he talks about going there, going to the Father, he is always talking about his own death, resurrection, and ascension. And we'll come back to that a bit later on. So he's saying he's going there to prepare a place for his followers. And he's the only one who could prepare a place because he's the only one who has died for our sins to open up a way for us to get there. So it's not arrogant of Jesus to say he's the only way. It's like going to the island in Antigua. The only way to get there is by boat. The only way is through Jesus. That has implications, doesn't it? That has applications. It means you cannot go directly to the Father, interestingly. You cannot go directly to the Father. You've got to go through Jesus. I once knew someone who said they believed in God, but they weren't so convinced about Jesus. They're all right, aren't they? You know, no, that's not all right. That is not okay, according to what Jesus is saying here. Because the only way is via the Son. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't get to the Father any other way. It also means other religions, according to this, logically, are false, aren't they? That's the claim of Christianity, is to say, if Jesus is the only way, other religions must be false, because they're not taking you to Jesus, and he's the only way. So that's first reason. I hope you agree, that is a big reason for saying, well, you must make much of the Son. The Bible tells us to, because he's the only way to the Father. Okay, we're not going to dig into verses 1 to 6 anymore on that. But I would hope that even after that, you go, well, yeah, okay, of course, we've got to make much of the Son. You could almost go home at that point. Don't, but you could almost. But there are two more reasons. Second reason is this, from verses 7 to 11. And this blew me away when I was studying this. I was amazed by this. Jesus says, if you know the Son, you know the Father. Yeah, he's saying, if you know the Son, you know the Father. You get that, verses 7 to 11. Now, let me just reread a bit of... I'll reread verses 7 to 11. And would you notice the thing that is repeat that Jesus repeats twice? Because this is the foundation of this second point. Okay, he repeats something twice. See if you can spot it as I read it through again. Verse 7 to 11. Here we go. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, but rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Okay, there are probably several things there that Jesus repeats, aren't there? But one of the key thing that he says, believe this. He says that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He's saying, this is the relationship that I've got with the Father. He's in me, I'm in him. Now, there is no relationship on earth that is anywhere near like the relationship between the Father and the Son, and therefore the Holy Spirit as well. I mean, Jesus goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit later, but for the moment, he's just talking about himself and the Father. There is no earthly relationship that is anywhere like this. What is this relationship? It is the relationship within the Trinity. Various people have, through the years, tried to summarize what the Bible says about the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the doctrine of the Trinity, and it is wonderful and it is glorious. And people have tried to put it down on paper. And so they've come up with three creeds. And you may have heard of the creeds through church history. Important when they were set down. They set down in writing, this is what we believe the Bible teaches about the Trinity. You may have heard of the Nicene Creed. You may have heard of the Apostles' Creed. There's another creed that the Church of England, that Anglican churches say, yes, we believe this is true to the Bible. It is called the Athanasian Creed. And it is vast. It is really long. If we as a church were to say it all out together, it would go on for a very long time. And according to the Anglican Church, you are supposed to say it all together a few times a year, but in practice no one does because it's so long. But what it's trying to do is to set out, this is what we believe about what the Bible says about the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are going to read it out together later in the service. But only a bit of it. We're not going to do the whole thing. But this is what it says in one of the bits up on the screen. It says, we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither blending the persons nor dividing their essence. Now, I'm going to show you in a moment that I think this is what Jesus is saying in this passage. But let's just try and get our heads around this, or begin to. Okay, the first two lines at the top of the screen there, in both of them, it's talking about the oneness of God and the threeness of God, isn't it? So, we worship one God, in Trinity, three, and Trinity, three, in unity, one. Okay, so you've got that, you've got to hold both together, Like I say, the relationship within the Trinity is not like anything else on earth. You've got to hold both together. And we might just say, oh, well, I just can't get my head around it. Well, no, but you've still got to hold them together, okay? And then in the second half, but at the bottom of the screen, the people who put this together then say, okay, here are the errors that you could go into, so don't do this. So the bottom half of the screen, and it relates to the oneness and the threeness. He says, neither blending their persons. Now, blending their persons would be saying, the three doesn't really exist. It's just one. They're really just one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no distinction actually between them. There's just the one. And they're saying, no, don't do that. Don't blend the persons. But also, not dividing their essence. Now, dividing their essence would be saying, oh, the oneness doesn't really exist. They're just three. But if you go down that route, then we worship three gods, don't we? Well, we say, no, that's not right. So you hold both. You neither blend their persons nor divide their essence. And that is what Jesus is saying about his relationship with the Father. That's why he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He doesn't say, I am the Father. He doesn't blend them. He doesn't say, I am the Father. He says, no, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. But he doesn't separate them. And he doesn't say, oh, I'm completely separate from the Father. No, we are in one another. Okay, got your head around that? Good. What's the result of that? Okay, even if you say, well, just can't get my head around that. My brain doesn't work like that. Okay, what's the result? The result is, if you know the Son, you know the Father. Because there is a complete match. Because of their oneness, there is an exact match between the Father and the Son in character, power, majesty, glory. There is an exact match. Now, the difficulty on preaching on this, as you can tell, is I want to give you an illustration of what this is like. But there is nothing like this. Even if you had identical twins, where they were just so utterly identical, if you went to go and talk to one of them and you say, right, I'm going to get to know the other one by getting to know the first one, there will be little differences. However close they are, there will be differences between them. And in the end, they are two separate beings. So however close they are, so that doesn't work. They are one, Father and Son, and yet separate persons. But as you get to know the Son, therefore, you are getting to know the Father because of that exact match. So what should be the answer? If someone comes to me and says, well, it's great at Emmanuel Church that you focus on Jesus, but shouldn't we focus on the Father? Teach us about the Father. How does Jesus respond? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me? Why? Because if you know the Son, you do know the Father. As you get to know the Son, then you get to know the Father. So what's the application? I think our tendency, your tendency, my tendency, mine certainly, is to go more down the line of dividing the persons of the Trinity, of treating them as three separate beings. We've got to hold together the unity of the Trinity, such that when you and I, when we read our Bibles, as we get to know Jesus, we are getting to know the whole of the Godhead. That is an amazing thought, isn't it? As you read the Bible, as you're meeting with Jesus, day by day, as you read his word, you are meeting the whole of the Trinity because you're getting to know all of them. And this is why I would say it is right to make much of the Son, because by getting to know the Son, we get to know the Father. Okay. Still there? Good. It's a wonderful passage. But it is heavy, isn't it? But that's good. We should be challenged in our thinking, shouldn't we? We need to be challenged in our minds. We're told to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, it is good that we get a bit of a mental workout when it comes to knowing God. Okay, last point. If you don't feel like you've had a mental workout on this so far, this will give it to you. Okay, third point. Our God-given task is to make much of the Son. And that is verses 12 and 13. Our God-given task is to make much of the Son. Verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Okay, now we need to pause there. That is an incredible thing. Jesus is saying, you as a follower of Jesus, and he is saying, anyone who follows me. It's not just the people he was with just then. He's talking about you and me, if we trust in Jesus. He says, we will do what he has been doing. More than that, we will do greater things than he has done. What does that mean? Jesus raised someone from the dead. He turned water into wine. I don't know about your track record so far in your life, but my life doesn't match up to that. And he's saying, you're going to do greater things than he did. What's he talking about? What's he expecting from you? Okay, let's start with when he says the first bit. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Now, when he says that, what he says actually is, will do the task that I have been doing. Now, what I did then in my preparation was to go back through John's Gospel. It sounds like a bigger task than it actually is. But to go back through John's Gospel and say, okay, what does Jesus say as you go through John's Gospel about his task? What is his task? One verse which I think summarizes it really well, although actually you can go to lots of places, is John 5, verse 36. Let me put it up on the screen. It says this, for the very work, this is Jesus speaking, for the very work or task, it's the same word, that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. What was Jesus's job given to him by the Father? It was to do the things he was doing, miracles, teaching, and so on, so that people will know that the Father had sent him, so that everyone would know who Jesus is, that he was sent by the Father. Okay? That was his task. So when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, I think it's that task, which is pointing people to Jesus that they would see that he has come from the Father. In other words, that people would see who Jesus is, that he is God's Son. So what do we need to do? We need to point people to Jesus. That is carrying on the task. What are the greater things? Well, I think to understand that, you've got to understand the second half of that sentence. Have a look again. Verse 12. Second half of the verse. He says, he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, do you remember, what did we say going to the Father meant? It means his death, resurrection, ascension. So, what are the things that we can do now that Jesus couldn't do before he died, rose to life, and ascended? What are those things? Well, we can point people back to the cross and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Jesus couldn't do that before. Well, he did, but he couldn't do it as point people to it as a completed act. We can now point people back to that and say, that's the place where Jesus' glory is revealed, where God's glory is revealed, and where you can find forgiveness. We can point people back to that. That, I think, you can discuss this with me afterwards if you want, object if you like, but I think that's the greater thing that we can do, is point people to Jesus' death and resurrection. Okay, so I'm arguing from that verse 12 is saying, your and my task that we are to do, given by Jesus, is to point people to the Son. In other words, our task is to make much of the Son. Verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Now, that's an incredible promise. Jesus is saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Do you think, therefore we get our list, our Christmas list, and we take it to Jesus and we say, well, that island of the Bahamas sounds good. I'd like one of them, please, and, a boat to get there, and whatever else. You know, that's my list. No. Okay, in context, what's he saying? What's the context? The context is Jesus saying, here's your task. Your task is to make much of the Son. And then he says, ask whatever you want in my name, and I'll give it to you. He's saying, within that task of making much of the Son, ask me. Now, this should give us great boldness in prayer for our evangelism, for reaching out to others, for saying, actually, Jesus, would you give us this? Would you help us as we speak to others of Jesus, as we point people to him? And the second half of that verse again blew me away as I was understanding it. Because the second half of the verse, unfortunately, it's not a great translation in the NIV. Let me just give it to you on the screen, my own translation of it. It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Okay, what does that mean? What's the logic? Follow the logic through. Apply mine to it. I know it's tough, but keep with it. He says, "I'll do whatever you ask." Within the task of pointing people to Jesus, ask me for whatever you want, so that, in order that, here's the purpose, the Father may be glorified. And how's the Father going to be glorified? In the Son. In other words, how do you glorify the Father? You glorify the Father in the Son, by glorifying the Son. Do you see that? So Jesus is saying, to bring glory to the Father, you must bring glory to the Son. So we can tweak our third point to say, our God-given task is to make much of the Son, which is how we glorify the Father. Now, that shouldn't totally surprise us. Given that God is one and three, actually, if you glorify the Son, you will glorify the Father. That shouldn't totally surprise us, given that sort of idea of oneness. That if you get to know the Son, you're getting to know the Father. And so if you glorify the Son, you are glorifying the Father. Okay, how practically do you and I glorify the Father? By worshipping the Son, glorifying him. Consciously aware that we are glorifying the Father as we glorify the Son. And by taking the good news to our friends and family and neighbours, telling other people about Jesus, we are glorifying the Father. So, from this, I would argue our mission statement, our aim is for people to come to Jesus, grow in him, and go out to serve him, does glorify the Father. Though the Father is not mentioned, it glorifies the Father, because by glorifying the Son, we are glorifying the Father. Okay, pull back. Three reasons why it is right to make much of the Son. The only way to the Father is the Son. That in itself, like we said, should be enough for us to go, yep, okay, we must make much of the Son. Second, if you know the Son, you know the Father. And third, our God-given task is to make much of the Son. In other words, it's what the Father wants us to do. So be unashamed of making a big deal of Jesus. Yes, we worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we do need to teach about the Father and the Holy Spirit, but I think what we have here is Jesus telling us, actually, it is right that we have a focus on the Son. So glorify him, worship him, and adore him, and tell others about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this wonderful passage, and I pray, please, that you would help us, all of us, to understand this passage better and better, and to understand you better and better. As we go through these weeks of looking at your word in John 14 to 16, Father, open our eyes more to the glory of the Trinity, to the glory of Jesus, and help us to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the way that you tell us to. And help us as a church to make much of the Son, to glorify him, to get to know him, and therefore to get to know Father and Holy Spirit, and to worship and adore the Son, and therefore to worship and adore the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Father, please would you bless us now, and this week, and over the coming weeks, as we look more at these passages. Amen.